Anyway, good to see everyone. Welcome to Worship Together. Last series, we've been talking about heaven. And a lot of times when we think of heaven, when we think of now, I feel like we're kind of like this. We think, we know, we hope, and we trust that heaven is this great place, that God has this great promise. But then somehow it feels so far away. You know, especially those of you who are really young, I doubt you're thinking, I'm going to go to heaven pretty quickly. You're thinking, I have another 20, 30, 40 years of your life, not more. And those of us who are older, we still think that, well, it's not that quick. And there seems to be this big gap between us and this promise of where we're supposed to be forever. And we tend to have a hard time kind of like these Lego people, kind of shake, a little shaky, what am I going to do for the next 30, 40, 50 years of my life? And our next series, we're going to talk about how do we live in this gap between God's promise and now. Because God called us here for a reason. He called us to stay in the gap. He did not fast track us. He didn't say, if you believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to fast track you to the future, then you just go straight to heaven. So there is something for us to really do here on earth. But then the question that we wrestle with a lot of times is, how should I live now for the next 5, 10, 20, whenever you pass away and go to heaven? How can we live a life that pleases God? And how do we stay faithful to God while we're here on earth? In the Old Testament, the Israelites struggled with the same question. Those of you who are familiar with the Old Testament, you might know. Those of you who are not, hopefully this will be a, those of you who are familiar, this hopefully will be a reminder for you. And for those of you who are not, then that's okay, because I love telling this story. And from the Old Testament time, we know that the Israelites were supposed to be slaves. They were slaves in Egypt, and then by the miracle of God and through the leader Moses, they were led out from Egypt. And then they are supposed to be going to this promised land that God had promised the people of Israel. And God said, I will give you this land filled with milk and honey. And it doesn't mean the whole, like the river is milk and all they eat is just honey. But it's supposed to be a way of telling the people that it will be a great place. And so God promised that. And by the way, that promised land is supposed to be over here. But as they escape, as they get led out by Moses into, on the way to the promised land, you guys probably have heard of the Red Sea. You guys have probably heard of how, some of you might have heard of how the Israelites were walking around through the desert. Now, I don't know how you guys are with your parents when you go on vacation. Family vacations always start out well. And then after a week or so, it inevitably turns pretty bad. I don't know, Phyllis, you just came back from vacation. You can tell us later. So inevitably, you are with your family 24-7. You are eating with them, sleeping in the same room. Inevitably, there's some sort of conflict going on. The Israelites have some conflicts with one another, but worse, they have conflict with God. They were starting to complain. They started to say, God, you gave us manna, supposed to be this yummy food that comes out every single day. And God gave them quail, meat, and they got tired of it. Even so much that they started to complain. He's like, God, why don't you give us more? It is almost better for us to go back to Egypt. And because of their disobedience to God, God decided that he would delay this nation of people 40 years before they get to enter into their promised land. 40 years. The whole generation would have passed away. And in order for them, those complaining generations, for them to all pass away, then they will be able to enter into the promised land. Now, here's the thing. When by the time they all those pass away, they have moved all the way to Mount Nebo, right here. And the rest of the, for the next 2 months, what we're going to do is, we're going to take a look through the book of Joshua, one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. The book of Joshua, because by the time the Israelites showed up right here in Mount Nebo, their leader, their great leader, Moses, passed away. And here, over 2 million people standing in front of the Jordan River and the plain of Moab, asking the same exact question that I posed to you. We see the promised land across from us. But what are we going to do? How am I going to travel through and take hold of God's promise to our people? How am I going to live? How am I going to proceed crossing this Jordan River and take this land that God said is promised to us? And I believe when we look through the book of Joshua, and I encourage all of you to go home this coming week, the next few weeks, just read through the book of Joshua, one of the most, I think, really exciting books. There's a lot of actions, a lot of stories in there. And I invite you to read through it, and so when you come for worship service, when you hear the sermon, it will mean so much more to you. And what we'll see is that, we're going to look through this book, and what we can see is that, how did God teach these people to live in the gap between the time that they received the promise and the time where they're at, claiming the promises of God. And so that's what we're going to do for the next few weeks. Today, obviously, we're going to start from the very beginning, Joshua chapter 1. We're going to start from the very beginning, Joshua chapter 1. And let me pray for us and ask God to bless our time and bless us with His Word. Okay, let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank You for putting this example in Scripture. And as we look at the lives of Israelites and as we look at how You interact with Your people, we ask that You will bless us. Help us to learn how to live in the gap until we see You once again. Lord, help us to surrender our lives to You so that we know how best to maximize our life here on earth. Father, as a follower of Christ, I want to thank You for that promise that we have that one day we will spend eternity with You. But Lord, now You call us to live our lives for You here on earth. So Holy Spirit, we ask that You will fill our hearts, mind, and hands. Help us to learn what it means to live in the gap. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. So by this time, this whole 2 million people were standing by the Jordan River asking the very question, what are we going to do to take this promised land? And Moses has just passed away, and now God is going to speak to Moses' successor, the next leader in line. And right from the get-go in the book of Joshua, it is a personal conversation between God and Joshua. Actually, it's not even a conversation, it's really more like a monologue. That God is speaking to His servant, the next leader of Israel, Joshua. And here's what He says. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun. By the way, that's not a nun, like nun that you guys know of. It's the name Nun, okay? Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan River, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and the great sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. So from the very beginning, when Moses passed away, God spoke to the next leader in line, Joshua. And He gave Joshua a very specific command. He said, arise, go over to this Jordan. Not just Joshua, but all the people. God was telling Joshua that they are supposed to do something. They're supposed to get up and go across to the land that God has promised. And I think this is really interesting. When we think of God's promises, we tend to think of it very passively. Well, God promised me something, I just need to sit and wait, and God's going to drop it on my lap. But when we see this between God and Joshua, God, one of the first things He said to them is, you are supposed to get off your bottom. You are supposed to go and do something. As you go, I will give you that promise. That promise will be fulfilled. And look at some of the key words here. It says, arise, go, tread. This required the Israelites literally to get up and start walking. And this is not a small task at all. taking over this land that God has promised is not a small task. First of all, it is a humongous piece of land. Look at all the borders, right? This is eventually when they conquered the land and the land was distributed to all the 12 tribes. This is a massive piece of land. By the time God was speaking to Joshua, they were just around right here, about to cross over to the Jordan River right here. And so it is a massive piece of land. And if that's not bad enough, that piece of land is not just an empty piece of land. There's no one living. In fact, there are people who are very, very strong that are living in there. People who are extremely evil. If you look at the book of Numbers, look at the book of Deuteronomy, we see that the people living in those countries are not nice people. When before Moses died, he sent 12 spies into this land. And 10 out of the 12 spies said, there are giants living in these places. So all 10 of them out of 12 said, don't go in there. Only Joshua and Caleb said, no, we have God, we can go take over this land. So not only is this a big piece of land, it is a big piece of land filled with people who are advanced in military, people who are willing to fight. They are not just going to come by you walking and say, oh, we're the Israelites, God said he promised us this land, and they're going to just turn over the key for you. And, oh, go ahead and take my house. Go ahead and take my land. No. These are people who are ready to fight them so that they will get this land. So it's not a small task. And now think of if you were Joshua, the leader. How scary this can be. Moses, one of the greatest leaders in all of Israel, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, says this, and therefore there has not arisen a prophet since Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, and all his land, and for all the mighty power and the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. No one likes to follow the best coach after. You know, everyone knows the Lakers won many championships through Phil Jackson. But very few people know who succeeded him afterwards. No one wants to follow that great person, because usually you're not measuring up to that great leader. And here Joshua, the assistant, supposed to be following this great leader, the greatest of all leaders in all of Israel, put yourself in his shoes. How scary that would be. How scary that would be. And imagine you have to bring all 2 million of these people across, and people who have the expectation of you being just like Moses. It is almost an impossible task. And I think about for you and I, in our lives, we sometimes feel the same way, don't we? We have a lot of uncertainties in our lives. Those of you who are senior, are transferring to college, to another college, you're thinking, where am I going to go next for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years of my life? Where am I going to spend those times in? For those of us who are maybe looking for a job or starting a new family, there are a lot of uncertainties. Those of you who are single, wondering, who am I going to get married? Am I going to get married? What am I going to do with my life? Those of you who are in school, what am I going to do next year? Those of you going to high school next year, who are 8th grade right now, and what's high school going to be like? There are a lot of uncertainty in our lives. You know, those of us who are adults, who might be struggling financially, who's going to pay the bills next month? Who is going to provide for my family? There are a lot of uncertainties in our lives, and just like Joshua and the Israelites, we can see very far away that God has a great promise, but we ask the question, how about now? How does God want me to live this life now? That promise is great in the future, but what am I going to do right now? But here's the thing. As we continue to see God's conversation with Joshua, we see that God called Joshua to do something very, very important. And in fact, it's not even something to do. It has to do with his heart. Let's go back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. God has given Joshua this command to go across the Jordan River. But before he went on, he said something really interesting. From verse 5, we're going to read a little bit more, and I'm going to unpack it, so stay with me, okay? So we're going to read from verse 5. Here's what God said to Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only to be strong and very courageous, be careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success whenever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you've been tracking what I've been reading, there should be three phrases that was repeated. What was it? Be strong and courageous. God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And verse 9, be strong and courageous. And guess what God's main point to Joshua is? Be strong and courageous, no matter what uncertainty lies ahead of you. Even with the stubborn group of people that I had to keep in 40 years in the desert, they might not even follow you. But God told Joshua, we need to be strong, you need to be strong and courageous. And I believe that's what God calls us to do. That as we live in this gap until God's promise is fulfilled that we'll go to heaven, before we do anything, we must be strong and courageous. Now, I want to show you a little demonstration. I need two volunteers. Alright, so Victor and Kevin, so you can get this one. Come on my side here, and Kevin can hold it. Now, do you guys know what this is? Yeah. Aluminum foil, right? You guys bake, you guys know, or you cook, or watch someone cook, you know. Do you guys know what this is? Cast iron, very good. Now, both of these are considered to be metal. Now, when God calls to be strong and courageous, it means that some of us, when we face uncertainty, can be weak and timid. I believe there are two kinds of Christians. Either we're weak and timid or we're strong and courageous. Now, if you know anything about aluminum is very fragile. In fact, all you need to do is just like tap it some more. You just kind of touch it a little bit. It starts crumbling. Kevin, you crumble that up. Use all your power to crumble it. Okay, don't hurt yourself. Okay, so it's really easy. You crumble it up. In fact, I don't like cooking with aluminum foil. Whenever I put stuff on the baking sheet, because I mismeasured it. And by the time I'm done crumbling it on the edge, I'm always short on the baking pan. So I don't like using aluminum foil. But I think when we are Christians, we're weak and timid, it's exactly like this. It's easily being influenced by our surroundings, by our circumstances. One tap, one little light touch of it, you just shrivel up like this. But God calls us to be something different. God calls us to be strong and courageous while we're waiting for Him to come back. Now, if you don't know anything about cast iron, all right, Victor, knock it a couple times. Okay, now I'm going to have you drop it on your toes. Okay, you probably shouldn't do that. Okay. Cast iron is very, very heavy. So while Victor is showing off his muscle here, he looks like really easy to hold this. It's actually very, very heavy. And it is meant to be that way because it can withstand a lot of heat. So you can cook, you can sear steak on it, so a nice little crust, not hungry. Or you can fry chicken in that, because the oil can get really hot. Now, I think when God said be strong and courageous, I think He's not calling us to be aluminum. He's calling us to be cast iron. That we need to be able to withstand our circumstances in our lives, uncertainties that we might be facing, and we need to be strong and courageous, not be affected. Because before you hurt this cast iron when you drop this, the cast iron probably is going to hurt your toes. And so that's what I think God is calling us to do. Thank you. God calls us to be, you guys can touch this later, just don't hurt yourself, okay? So cast iron, we need to be strong and courageous. We need to be like that cast iron, that not be influenced by our circumstances and people around our lives, but instead we need to be the one who can stand up to those things. But the million-dollar question is this: how can we be a cast iron Christian instead of an aluminum Christian? When we think of strong and courageous, well, those of you who have read this passage, we tend to think that God is telling Joshua to toughen up, join the military, go through SEAL training, just toughen yourself up, start working out, start being tough skin, stop taking people seriously, you know, what they say. That tends to be our reaction or application of this passage. But when you look at this passage carefully, the only way to be strong and courageous in Christ, in God, is not to try harder or try to be tougher. Because before this command to be strong and courageous, God actually gave Joshua a promise. God gave Joshua a promise. In fact, he gave him two promises. Before God called him to be strong and courageous, look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, and so I will be with you. And in fact, if you go back to verse 1, the very beginning of the book of Joshua says this: after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. And when you read that, you're probably like, okay, not a big deal. I can just pass through, probably just a marker of time telling us, now it's basically Moses passed away, now it moves on to the next thing. But actually, what that does show us is that God had made a promise that travels beyond, that transcends our time and Moses' time. Because when you read when you go through Joshua, remember, Moses is supposed to be this great leader. God had made a promise that to give them the land way before Moses did. God has been in having this big, what I call a big promise, for a long time. Sorry, it got cut off right here. Genesis chapter 12, that is really the source, the beginning of this promise of a great land that these people would inherit. I'll read it for us, if you can't see it. God was speaking to, not Moses, God was speaking to Abraham. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. God had promised them this land for many, many years before even Moses was born. And in fact, this big promise that God had made was happened way before even Abraham was born. When Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 sinned, God already has put in motion a promise to redeem people. God has been doing this great thing throughout time. This land is just a part of that promise. God has been, from the very get-go, once Adam and Eve have sinned, he has already set in motion a plan, a promise to redeem you and I so that we can reconcile back with God forever. And so by the time they come around to Joshua, to Moses, it has already been going on for a long time. In fact, if you go to Judges chapter 1, it began again with after the death of Joshua. So God's big promise is not dependent on you and I. It's not dependent on the great leader of Moses. It's not dependent on the great leader of Joshua. He is going to do his will, accomplish his plan for sure. And that crosses all time and all people. And we can have faith in that. That's when we understand it, that's when we become that cast iron Christian that can be strong and courageous. Because God is doing something way bigger, way before we even can think about. But if that is too far for us to understand, God actually gave Joshua a very personal promise. He said, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. If you were Joshua or one of the Israelites, or have you gone through the Red Sea, you've gone through your time in the desert, you would have known how personal God had been with his people. Moses was the closest person to see who God is. He said, it was said in the scripture that he could see God face to face, like friend. And God now made the personal promise to Joshua and said, just like I was with Moses, now I promise to be with you. And he said it again, whatever you do, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, because I'm the Lord God, the Almighty God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords will be with you wherever you go. There is no better promise than God promising us that He will be with us. Think of all the hardship, trials, uncertainties that you may have in your life right now. God is saying, I am with you right now. Even though you don't feel it, even though you don't understand it, I am with you every step along the way. If that is true, and if we are willing to have faith in that and trust that, we can be strong and courageous to face whatever that we're facing right now in our lives. But it requires faith. It doesn't require trying harder. It requires you to surrender your control and say, God, I believe that you're here with me. I believe you're doing something greater in this world. I want to trust in you. And when you trust, that's where strength comes in. That's where courage comes in. I put this slide up before I realized the song that they're going to sing, the worship team. And we sang that earlier. We sang it out loud. We sang it in our heart. In the bridge part, it says, God is with us. He will go before us. He will never leave us. He will never leave us. If God is for us, He has opened up His arm. He will never fail us. He will never fail us. And I challenge you, is that what you put your faith in? Is that the God that you believe in, do you really believe that He is with you? Do you really believe that He is for you, not against you? Because when you do, you will become strong and courageous, because God will be so much bigger than all your uncertainties and circumstances and people in your life. But the only way to get that is to claim and to put our faith in God's promise. His promise that He's been doing great things all throughout time. He's been making a promise to you that He will never leave you and never forsake you. And by the way, that is why Jesus' name in the Old Testament, it was prophesied as Emmanuel, which in Hebrew means God with us. God with us. This is so important. If we want to be strong and courageous, if we want to maximize and please God in our lives here on earth, we must claim God's promise. We must believe that He is with us, and that's how we can be strong and courageous. Now, if claiming God's promise, believing in His promise is the foundation of being strong and courageous, then the result and the purpose of being strong and courageous is to be faithful to God. God did not just call Joshua to be strong and courageous for no reason. If you go back to Joshua chapter 1, God was very specific in the purpose of him being strong and courageous, and it goes beyond just taking the land, the promised land. Even though that was the very first thing, very concrete thing that God had told Joshua and the Israelites to do, when you look carefully in verses 7 to 9, God is calling him to do something far greater than taking hold of the land. Because look at what he says. Especially those in the green. God says this to Joshua. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So that why should you meditate on day and night? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. God's plan for us is to stay faithful to Him. The reason why we need to be strong and courageous is because that's what allows us to stay faithful to Him in this world. When God said to Moses, God said to Joshua, repeatedly, be careful to do what I call you to do. Be careful to follow what I call you to do. Don't steer off from left to right. Stay focused on what I call you to do. And when he called the Israelites to take the promised land, that is just one of the things that God had told them to do. Because God did not expect them to take over the land and just sit there on a couch and just relax until heaven comes back, until Christ comes back. God had a purpose for them to continue after they claimed the land to stay faithful to God and His Word, to be faithful to Him and follow the law, the Scripture, follow the ways of the Lord. And if you finish up reading the Old Testament, that actually proves to be a challenge for the Israelites. In fact, the very next book in Judges, if you read through Judges, there will be cycles of the Israelites following God, starting to fade away, starting to disobey God, and then they were in trouble, they want to come back to God, then they started feeling God's presence, and they walk away. It's just a cycle over and over again. And for us, we might feel the same way. We might feel the exact same way in our Christian life, that, man, I'm going this cycle high and down, low, high and low. I'm like a roller coaster. But God told Joshua, be strong and courageous so that you can follow. Be careful to follow the things that I've called you to do. Someone once said this, an Old Testament scholar, I thought it was very profound. He says, light in the kingdom of God must be lived out of the Word of God. If your heart is truly if you really desire to follow God in this life, the only way to do it is to live out the Word of God. It's the only way to live out the Word of God. The only way for us to stay faithful to God, practically speaking, God told Joshua very simply, meditate on it, meditate on the Word of God day and night. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You should talk about it. You should think about it. You should meditate on it. You should chew on it. That every single day we need to let God's Word to be a part of our lives. Not just vaguely, not just as a passing thought. God's Word needs to be controlling our lives. God's Word needs to be prevailing in our hearts. So that everything that we see, everything that we think of in this world, look through the lens of God, the lens of the Bible. And this is a very simple thing, but yet this is actually the hardest thing for all of us, to be engaged in the Word of God. You know, sometimes we're willing to read books about God. We're willing to read even theology books about God, or read other people's thoughts about God. But we are unwilling to come before the Word of God itself and to read it. Because it is far easier to get digested food from somebody else. But I guarantee you, you are not going to stay faithful to God unless you're reading from here and doing what it says. And that's my challenge for all of you, myself too. To stay faithful on not just once a week, twice a week, but day and night. You know, you guys get the daily bread. If that works for you, there are passages in there to read. Use that. If you think that's not, I doesn't work for me, find something. There are hundreds and thousands of plants out there that you can get a hold of. Last week, someone shared with me. Someone was reading the Bible with his father, who is not a Christian. And his father said this, as I read it every single day, I actually feel the power of Scripture. And he is not even a Christian. And for those of us who claim to be Christians, who really believe in Jesus Christ, how much more do we need to get the power out of here so that we can do what it says to stay faithful to God? And so that's my challenge for all of us, that we will be willing to take time to read God's Word. Because our opinion don't matter too much. Nor other people's opinion of us. I think the only opinion or the only truth that matters is what God has to say about the Word. About Himself, about us. Because when you start reading this Word, this book, you can start to think differently about this world. You start to think differently about other people. And most importantly, you can start to think differently about yourself. And I encourage all of us to stay firm in God's Word. Now, I'm going to end on this one. As we read through Joshua chapter 1, and this is a passage that we recite every single Sunday, there are actually incredible amount of similarities between this and what God is calling Joshua to do. God told Joshua, he commanded Joshua to do something, gave him a promise to do something, that he will do something, and he told him to observe, to follow. I kind of broke it down right for you guys. God gave you and I a command. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That's your command, that's God's command for you and I to go claim the land. We don't need to fight a battle, literally, to fight, to claim a piece of land. God calls us to go claim people back for Him. That's His plan. He wants to redeem the people. He wants to bring back people who are broken to be back with God. You have a command to do the same thing that God has told Joshua to do. Go and make disciples. God also calls us to be obedient to His word. Observe all that I have commanded you. Same thing that God has told Joshua to do. To obey all that I've commanded you to do. And lastly, and most importantly, God did not tell us to just do something. He preceded all these commands with this. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The same promise that God gave to Joshua and the Israelites, that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. The same promise God has, Christ has given to you and I, as we come to faith in Him, that He will be with you and I always, until the very end of the age. So I want all of us to think about that, and I pray that God will speak to you this coming week, how you can be strong and courageous, so that you can stay faithful wherever life is your in this week, whatever that you do, and praise the Lord to God. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. We give you thanks because you never tell us to do something without first giving us a promise. Because you know how weak we are. You know how little strength we have on our own. And as we sing that song earlier, your grace is enough, reminded me of a passage from 2 Corinthians, how your grace is sufficient for our weaknesses. And you said, Lord, that your power is made perfect in weaknesses. And Father, we confess to you many times we are like the aluminum foil more than like the cast iron. We can easily be swayed by the world, easily be swayed by our emotions, easily be swayed by the circumstances in our lives. But I pray, Lord, that you will bring us back to your promises, bring us back to your word, so that we will see how great of God you are, how faithful of a God you are to us. And Lord, I pray that as we understand that, as we get a deeper conviction of that, that we will become strong and courageous for you in this world. And Father, as we recite the Great Commission every single week, I pray that it will renew our commitment to you, renew our calling to you, no matter whether we're student or professionals or whatever life stage that we are in. Lord, I pray that the Great Commission will call us anew every single Sunday, that we will go and make disciples for of all nations for the glory of God, until one day you come back, that we will be with you forever. And Father, would you be with us as we continue to study your word later on in Sunday school? We bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.